Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition, episode 31 of your favorite basketball podcast, Sitting Courtside. Like always, my name is Dante.
It's your boy Jerry D, of course.
And every time, every episode, we're changing up the player name based off the number. This episode, we just figured it out right before, is for Reggie Miller. Although we are the same, we show up every week. It's a different player every week. Number 31 took us a little bit to think of someone that wore that number. But we're here. Shout out to you, Reggie Miller. And before we get started, please make sure to like, make sure to like and subscribe if you are on YouTube. Check out our shorts content, all of our other videos on this platform. If you are a podcast only listener, that is no problem. Just please make sure to give us a 5-star rating, like, follow, all that good stuff. We appreciate the support. Follow us on our social medias, our personal ones, also Sitting Courtside on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You look up Sitting Courtside, you'll find us. So, those are the plugs. I think I'm ready to start talking about some basketball. But Jerry, first of all, before we do that, how are you doing? How is your week? How is the life of Jerry going?
The life of Jerry is great, man. I feel like I could paint one hell of a tapestry, you know, on a nice blank canvas to describe how life is going. So it's awesome. How are you, though?
I love that. I am doing fantastic. I actually, you're talking about painting blank canvases. I actually did do that the other night. I went painting with my girlfriend for the first time the other night. And my God, was it terrible. Hers was great. Hers was fantastic. Mine was not. It's, I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's up in New England. It's called like Muse Painting. And it's basically like a sip and paint thing. So it's like you go, you have instructors and stuff, but like you can get alcohol and paint for a few hours. So like you're following instructions, which actually makes it worse.
Yeah. Like
I just follow what I'm doing. Like I thought I was following, but
yeah, I literally did something like that around the holidays. And trust me, it amounted to nothing, but my girlfriend's, just like yours, looked astounding. But
yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, we're getting better. I think that's the thing. As each time goes on, you just look to get better. Hopefully that'll happen for me. Maybe not, but we'll see. But anyways, we're not here to talk about painting. We're not here to talk about famous painters, nothing like that. We are here to talk about NBA basketball, and honestly, a little bit of college too, because college tournament did start. But with our first topic, this is just a direct correlation between the NBA and the NCAA. Mike Greenberg, the host of Get Up on ESPN, ESPN personality, I'm sure many people, you have heard of him, you know who he is. I personally like Greeny, but this statement right here that he made the other day is ridiculous. Basically, he says that UConn can make the NBA play-in tournament right now, and that caused quite the uproar on social media because you're basically placing a team full of, you know, probably an average age of what, 21, 22 years old, if that. That might be a little old. Saying that they can compete and would be better than professional athletes. If you're making the play-in tournament, you're better than five teams in the NBA. I have my opinion on this and what I think UConn could do if they were in the NBA. But Jerry, I would love to hear your thoughts on what Mike Greenberg said. Do you agree with him? And not only that, but like, do you think think of the best college teams in history. Do you think even those teams would be able to compete in a league full of professional athletes?
No, not a damn chance.
Thank you. I'm so happy we're on the same page.
I don't think that's like even fair to these college kids, or if you'd want to compare like historical teams, to put them up even against the worst competition in the NBA. Like if the UConn Huskies took on the Charlotte Hornets today, Miles Bridges would look like a prime LeBron James
out there. Oh my God, he could drop 50 on him. Like there's no one on that UConn team that's going to guard him.
It's not even a knock to like these college guys. Like they're learning the game, they're playing the game at the best level. And yes, head and shoulders, they look like the best college basketball team out there. They definitely look like they should steamroll the competition. But yeah, that's
college basketball.
They're playing other kids. They're playing people around their age, with the exception of some people that are like 8-year seniors that happen to be our age. But that's the story for another day. Either way, they're playing NBA level talent. If I took the UConn Huskies and put them in the same court with the Detroit Pistons, Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren are going to run the show on them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, even the worst teams, the Washington Wizards, worst teams in the NBA. And this is no knock on college players because they don't deserve to be dragged into this. The fact of the matter is, you look at a college team, okay? Let's look at this UConn team. How many of these players are actually going to the league?
You probably got like two.
Not even a handful, right? Yeah. Okay,
I can look at the roster and say there's two that I'm confident in, and one of them just because he's a 7-footer. So there's going to be a role player, sure, role for him.
We'll give him three. Let's just be generous and we'll give him three. So you're telling me three guys that might make the NBA and then the rest of the UConn team, which aren't, I'm not saying are scrubs, but, you know, don't probably have a big bright future in basketball post-college. In what world is that team going to be the Pistons, the Wizards, the Hornets, the Raptors, or the Nets? Mikal Bridges would fucking put any person on UConn through hell and make them probably want to quit basketball after they play a game. It's no disrespect for the college athletes whatsoever, but it's just like, let's be real. Like, it's just not even, a thought I'd entertain a college team actually competing with, and not even competing with and beating, but making the playoffs. Come on.
It kind of reminds me of a few years back whenever Alabama football was on there.
It was every single year they would say it.
They could beat the Browns. It would always be one of those like teams at the bottom of the conference or at the bottom of division. They could beat I can't say that anymore, but they could beat the Commanders, formerly known as whatever.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They could beat the Browns. They could beat all these teams because that's an NFL roster. And yes, Alabama does put in probably 12 bodies into NFL rosters every single year through the draft. But to play NFL level talent and to do that for the entirety of a game, you really think they're going to go out there and dominate grown men when they don't even know how it feels to play on the NFL turf, how it feels to actually be banging against other linemen for all 40 minutes or 60 minutes of the game. Sorry, just no. Like, there's no way. Collegiate athletes can't stack up with professional ones. Not yet.
And I'm happy you brought up the college comparison beyond the football one, because it's the same thing. It's the same sentiment. It might be worse, to be honest with you. But it's just like, again, it's like we have to look at it like a full team, right? A full college team or a full NFL team. These are all professional athletes that have, proven themselves that they belong in this league and stuff, compared to the other side of things where, again, 12 people in Alabama might go to the NFL. That's fantastic. But where are the other 40 going? They're not going anywhere. So it's like, that's really what it comes down to. I've never entertained ever the idea of it. And I asked you earlier, like, not even this UConn team, but an all-time team. I still feel the same way. An all-time team is no different. You have your star-studded guys, but then the drop-off and everything like that. It's just, to compete at a high level, at the professional level, and to be able to hold your own for a full 48-minute game. Also, the rules are different. Everything's different from when you go to college to the NBA. It's just not something that I think is possible. Obviously, it's hypothetical. It's, it's something that we'll probably never see. Mike Greenberg, I know, I hope he was just saying this to stir some controversy, because I can't believe there's no way he believes something like this. So
love you, Greeny, but that's bullshit. But yeah.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If I had an extra hour in my day, I would spend more time focusing on myself and my personal well-being, whether that be in the gym physically or focusing on myself mentally, like reading a book or just taking time for myself. If you had more time every day, how would you spend it? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. But for what? Do you know what is important to you? Without knowing, how do we know how to prioritize our time? Whether you already know what you want to do or not, therapy is a great place to work through challenges you face in figuring things out. Find out what matters most to you, whether it's basketball or something else, and steamroll towards it. Take a chance towards your goals before that shot clock expires. Time is of the essence. No matter the size of your goal in life, seeking help through therapy can empower you to take control of your mindset to achieve what you set out to achieve. It can help you develop skills for your personal wellness, which in turn will influence the way that you tackle day-to-day obstacles. There's no shame in seeking help when navigating through the challenges of life. Take full control of your thought life. Trust me, it'll be worth it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, and very accessible. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can also switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/courtside today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/courtside. Now back to the video. Let's move on. Let's actually talk about an NBA team that is on fire right now, that is competing with some of the best teams and is arguably one of the best teams in the NBA right now, the Houston Rockets. I know we talked about them last week and stuff like that. You guys might be sick of us talking about Houston. This is not a Houston-based podcast, but we have to talk about them because they have won nine straight games, nine-game winning streak, one game behind Golden State for the 10th seed in the Western Conference to make the play-in tournament. In the month of March, Jalen Green is averaging almost 28 points a game, almost six rebounds, while shooting 50, 41, and 90 splits, and 11 wins in the month of March. And I don't want to ruffle any feathers or anything like that. I don't want to, you know, compare or nothing, but his numbers are statistically better than what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, some people's MVP this year, is averaging in the month of March. Again, that's just a stat. I'm not saying anything. I'm not comparing. I'm just saying that's the truth. But Jerry, with the Houston Rockets making this late season surge, and again, like post, Sengun getting hurt, you know, this is all happening after he gets hurt. Do you think that the Houston Rockets are actually going to make the play-in tournament? And if they do you think that they've picked up steam at the right time? They got hot at the right time where they can actually make some sort of noise?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I kind of feel like I'd be a fool to pick against them right now. Like, I know the Warriors have the championship pedigree and the experience, but I think we ride on that a little too much or rely on, like, what they did back then as, like, a way to kind of put them over the Rockets or, you know, even the Lakers to some degree since how successful they've been in the last 10 years or so. And I get it, but nah, I think I'm gonna pencil the Rockets in at that 10 spot, man. And they're playing really well. They have the longest streak in basketball right now, like winning nine games in a row. Like the next closest team is the Washington Wizards, who won three in a row, which is
good for them. Good for them.
So it seems like the teams at the bottom of the pool all season are trying to wake up and play some spoiler. Except in the Rockets' case, not only do they get to spoil the Warriors' hopes of even making it into the play-in, they take them out and replace them if that does happen. So I think it's huge. Yeah, I think it's huge just to see how Jalen Green has, like, played. I believe in this stretch of the winning streak, he's had, like, five 30-point-plus games as well. So
a handful of 40-point games, too. He's been on fire. Great. Fatherhood Jalen Green is really doing well. You know, whatever the motivation is, whatever it is, I wouldn't put money. He's doing it for his family, Jerry. He's doing it for his kids, unborn children. So, anyways, Jalen Green, I mean, he's playing like an absolute star right now. He's playing like the number two pick that he was a few years ago. And there are actually reports that Sengun might be able to return before the season ends, which would be actually kind of crazy because I watched him get hurt and I watched him getting wheeled out and stuff. And I was like, damn, this guy isn't coming back. So the fact that he might come back, that's awesome. And we've talked about this a few weeks ago, just like how entertaining it is, how it's so close, like the standings and stuff that, like, even a few weeks ago, I mean, we really thought that the play-in tournament and just like the rest, like the fifth, sixth seeds were going to be decided between like these handfuls of teams and stuff. Like the play-in's going to have the Lakers, the Warriors, the Mavs, the Suns, potentially whatever. And now all of a sudden this other team just gets hot at the right time and is creeping up and they might knock out the four-time NBA champs and stuff. Like it's very cool to see. It's cool to see, like, obviously the Warriors have been the staple, this like team that you always count on to make the postseason. And now it's like, there's so many good teams in the NBA now that that's not even a guarantee anymore. Even if for most of the year they were in the playoff picture, it's an 82 game season, brother. Yep. It comes down to the very last game. And in this case, it's looking like it's going to come down to the last few. I personally, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm going to let you finish right after this, but they also play the Warriors one more time.
They do.
That's a huge game, but please continue.
No, huge game. And even like, just like going back, like all these other teams, like Sacramento and Dallas, like they played each other last night and they played each other one more time. They were tied. They had the same record last night. Like, it's insane how close things are right now. And honestly, I'm rooting for Houston. I really would like to see them make the postseason. One, because it's a fresh team, a very young team. You know, they have a great head coach in Ime Udoka. And also because of the attitude for the Warriors. Like, Draymond Green, I'm sure you saw this, was asked post-game about, you know, you're only a game ahead of the Warriors, game ahead of the Rockets, excuse me, the creeping up.
Yep.
Before the guy finished, he goes, "I don't give a damn about Houston."
That's Draymond.
Draymond, hey, I get that's your thing. That's your attitude. That's your character. But, man, you should be worried about Houston because they are the better team right now. They are definitely the better team. They should be fearful of them and feel a little fire creeping up their ass or something like that, because they're in the hot seat right now. Yeah. Their backs are against the wall. Even though they are the 10th seed still right now, their backs are against the wall. They're the ones that have all this stuff to lose. The Rockets don't have anything to lose. No one expected them to make the playoffs or anything like that. They just got hot at the right time. The Warriors don't make the play-in. Things could happen.
There's so many different storylines that if the Warriors fail to make the postseason, that we all know that, you know what, at the start of this season, we're gonna regroup, we're going to bring all the guys back, we're not going to make any major moves, we're going to add Chris Paul after getting rid of Jordan Poole, and that's going to be the piece that kind of maneuvers us one way. And, you know, shout out to them. Jonathan Kuminga stepped up after calling out Steve Kerr for minutes.
Yep.
He's probably arguably their second best player this season.
Moses Moody has also kind of taken a step up this year, too, recently. Yep.
The young guys that they wanted to invest in are actually doing what they were supposed to do. They took a step up, but
everyone else took
a step back. Steph Curry's still Steph Curry, but the roster itself just doesn't entice me. I love Trayce Jackson-Davis, but most of the roster itself is like, it's a lot of like hit and miss for me. Now, going into the offseason, let's say they fail to make the postseason here, it's really going to be a storyline of, you know what, Klay Thompson doesn't need to be a part of this anymore. Like, it's going to be a tough decision, but that would be
going to pay him, that's for sure. They're not paying him.
That'd be the first person out the door. Do we want to keep Draymond Green? And yes, I know what he's meant to the organization, to our dynasty that we've been able to build over the past decade, but these antics, or like what he did with Santi Aldama the other night after like pushing him in the chest and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
and he also Patty Mills last night. Yeah, he wrapped his arm around Patty Mills' neck. It was a common foul though.
You know, I'll say I love Draymond, and I think that edge that he brings to the game is just a part of who he is. Like,
sure.
I love that part about him. It brings a different type of grittiness to the game and a meanness. You need that on your team. But are the Warriors, will they get fed up? And then if all those guys are gone, what does that mean for Steph Curry? Like, you mean to tell
does
me that
he
in
wanna
the twilight,
stick around? What is he gonna do?
The twilight years of your career, like we think of Steph like a Kobe or a Dirk or a Tim Duncan, one of those guys to spend his entire career with one organization.
Right.
But if there's nobody around, and let's say we do get rid of those guys, what are we bringing back? Am I still gonna have Wiggins? Like, he's kind of he's regressed. Mm-hmm. Who do I have on this roster that can actually make me think that, hey, we can still compete for titles? Even though I'm 35 plus, and Steph isn't even your typical 35, he could still give you 30 a night.
Steph could give you 30 a night until he's 38, 39 years old. Just his style of playing and stuff like that, he can go until the wheels. He can give you 30 until the wheels fall off. You might not even see a big regression from him. Yeah, it's gonna come down to what the Warriors are gonna. How are they gonna help Steph out? If the Warriors don't make the play-in tournament, I think the order in which, like, you kind of nailed it, like, Klay Thompson's the fall guy, and then you decide what you want to do with Draymond. He's got a bigger salary. You can trade it, figure out what you want to do. But then in that case, it's like Steph Curry's like Will Smith, the last episode of Fresh Prince, where he's looking around and then no one's around. How are the Warriors going to do right by Steph Curry? Because it could get into a situation where, like, I'm not comparing them. I'm kind of just comparing the situation of, like, Damian Lillard in Portland, where it's just like you want to be there, but it's like you know that your clock's ticking. Like, Damian Lillard never won a championship, so again, it's a different situation. Steph Curry's won four, but Steph Curry still has the chance of getting to like 5 or 6 rings. He could surpass LeBron. He could break the tie. And he could tie Jordan if things work the way that they, like in a perfect world, right? I'm not saying this is a perfect world, but I think there is a world where that could happen. So for Steph, you know, you want to continue that legacy. You're already the greatest shooter of all time. For a good amount of people, I'd say, you've crept into the top 10 all-time list for some people. If you, being a lifer, staying in one organization your whole career, the idea of that is amazing. But unfortunately, we're in a time where that's so rare. And, like, I don't think we're going to be seeing that happen too often. And, like, no one would fault Steph for wanting to leave if everyone leaves and they don't do, like, bring anyone in to help him. No one's going to fault him. You worry about your legacy. And it's like, if you leave Golden State to go, I'm literally just throwing this out there. I'm just saying the Heat. Like, no one's going to fault you. If you want to ring in Miami, people aren't going to be like, oh, like, you had to leave to get a ring. Like, it's not nothing like that. So I think, I don't know if it's going to get to that point, but it'll be scary. It'll be crazy if we get to a point where Steph Curry either wants out or the Warriors are going to look to really... just get rid of everyone.
Steph's situation is just so different in terms of all the other guys too, like the ones that I mentioned with Kobe, Tim, and Dirk.
Right.
Like Kobe's rise to fame was, you know, with Shaq, obviously. Shaq leaves. There's rumors that Kobe could be gone, going to Detroit or going to Chicago or going to the Clippers even. But Pau Gasol came, Andrew Bynum panned out, Ron Artest came, and, you know, Trevor Ariza as well in that first championship run. And you win two more. And your team's still good enough where you're competing before he tears his Achilles.
Yeah.
For Tim Duncan, it's probably a more similar situation to what Steph had to go through, because Tim Duncan had a big three of his own with Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, right? And then obviously the head coach never changed and Greg Popovich. So that was a very, I guess, sustainable system to where Tim Duncan was probably never going to leave. But the only difference was the Spurs were always good.
Yes.
We always knew year after year there were going to be a top 4 seed, guaranteed. No matter what.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But Dirk's situation, obviously, the Mavs were a great team throughout the 2000s. Nobody talks about that enough. I believe he had like 6 or 7 50-win seasons and without playing with an all-star.
Yeah.
So shout out to Dirk, but won his chip, and then it was kind of downhill from there. But Steph's situation is just so weird because – his trio of guys didn't age as gracefully as, which is odd to say, as Tony Parker or Manu Ginobili.
And you would think that, like, someone like Klay Thompson's game, like, would have been similar to Steph.
Yeah.
Where it's the sense of, like, Klay Thompson's a bit more, maybe a bit more athletic in the sense of, like, he can dunk and, like, does more things like that. Like, maybe uses his knees a little bit more. But still, like, his game revolves around shooting. And it shouldn't have been something where he, like, declined as fast as he did.
Exactly. And, you know, he still gives you 20 off the bench.
He does. Absolutely.
That's great. But it's not the same.
You can tell there's a big difference from Klay Thompson now to even 2019. Yeah.
So that's my thing, though. Like, it's odd to see how, like, Draymond still has his highlighted games where he still does Draymond things. Cool. But their big three didn't age as gracefully as San Antonio's big three in a moment in an era of modern medicine where you're supposed to be pushed ahead and your career should naturally be longer. Like, it's actually kind of crazy. Like, I just thought about that. Like, it's insane.
They have more advantages now with the technology and, like, ways you can get surgeries, whatever. Man, I love chaos. I'll be honest with you. I love chaos. And I think if the Warriors don't make the play-in tournament, there's going to be a whole lot of chaos. There's going to be a lot of narratives this offseason. And I love that. So I'm not rooting for anyone's downfall. I'm going to see how it plays out. But I'm just saying we are in for an interesting offseason if the Warriors do not make the postseason.
Indeed.
So we'll see. Obviously, we'll, as the weeks go on, you know, next week and stuff, we'll get, you know, we'll see how close we are to where the Rockets and Warriors are in the standings and who will be, you know, more likely to make the playoffs and stuff. But as of right now, the Rockets are looking damn good. So we'll see what happens there. And the last topic we have here, just a quick little thing. Adam Silver, I forget where he was. He was on a show, he was being interviewed, I forget what it was called, But they were talking about the All-Star Game weekend. Obviously, over the last few years, or even just maybe more than the last few years, maybe over the last like 10 years or 15 years or so, the All-Star Game has taken a step down as far as driving away from competitiveness and becoming more of like an entertainment type of thing. I'm talking about the game specifically, not like the weekend, like the dunk contest. We all know that has been dead in the dirt for years now. But the All-Star Game itself, people complained about, you know, they're scoring too much. There's no defense. They tried changing the rules up, like a point total thing, and nothing's really worked out. So Adam Silver was being interviewed. He acknowledged that the All-Star Weekend is being viewed as a mid-season break for athletes. I mean, he said himself, there's like 1,300 games that get played, competitive games that get played. These players are traveling all around the country, sometimes even outside the country for some games. And they look at this as a break, as they should. So it's like when you're on break, you're not going to be competitive. You're not going to be going try hard during an All-Star game that ultimately means nothing. There's no, like, there's nothing involved there that really makes players like want to win. There's no incentive, whatever. So he said, we're going to look at USA versus international. I just think maybe we're past that point where we're going to play a truly competitive game. So in this case, I mean, right there, I don't know like how I feel about that. If you want to give your two cents, you can. I think we have the same sentiment. I don't think this is something that's really gonna change, fix anything whatsoever.
It's actually pretty terrible. Like
that we're getting idea to this point that yeah, we have to like, think of stuff like this.
Yeah, because I mean, even if you do have international guys take on like a Team USA, I guess you can call it. Like, we're talking SGA, Jamal Murray, or Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, or Giannis and Luka versus Curry, Tatum, Booker, Bron. Like, it just, and AD. It doesn't even seem like an even lineup. Like, I'm picking Team World.
Yeah, I'm picking the international team every time, 100%.
Like, no, it's not even, and even if those guys do that, that doesn't even entice people to, like, play more. Maybe
that doesn't make it, that doesn't change the defensive side of things or make it more competitive. If anything, you're added to the entertainment part. It's like, oh, okay, so we're gonna do Americans versus non-Americans. Yeah. Like,
yeah, that doesn't do anything for me. Like, personally, even if that's something that's done, the ratings will probably look the same. Maybe there's a couple more like international presences that come outside the country, maybe, but no, there's a better alternative. And maybe if I'm Adam Silver, if I got on the phone with Adam Silver and had 5 minutes to talk to him about a proposal, I would probably straight up tell him, pay them. Give them a cash incentive. Give them a real reward.
Like the play-in tournament. Give them an incentive.
Well, the in-season tournament.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
I get they play for charities and the charities get $500,000. That's magnificent. But the NBA is $1 billion corporation.
They could be doing that no matter what. There shouldn't be a game to decide, like, oh, we're going to donate because this team won. Why don't you just donate that money in general?
Each NBA player can give $100,000 every month to any charity they want if they really wanted to. Not saying they have to, but it's $1 billion corporation. You could shell out a prize reward money if the Western Conference guys win. I know there's 12 guys on a roster, so maybe we give each guy $5 million. That way, you spend $60 million total. I don't know how they feel about that. Maybe that's money they don't want to shell out. Maybe that's money for other developmental uses around the league. Who knows? But if you want to see a better All-Star game, pitting Team World versus Team USA is just stupid to me. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. I could do that in 2K.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to see that.
We see, what is it? Is it the Rising Stars that they do it? Or, yeah.
Well, they did do it that way.
They did do it that way. It's like, I appreciate Adam Silver for like wanting to try new things. And like, that's one thing I respect about him is that he's open to change and like trying new things. But in this case, I mean, obviously nothing's set in stone. This isn't like, this is something that they're just looking into. So God knows what they'll actually do. But yeah, I just don't think this changes anything. Hopefully he realizes that too, because like in the grand scheme of things, like, what's the one way that we're going to fix the competitive nature of it? you put money, you add money, money is involved. Yeah. And it's like, it worked so well for the in-season tournament. You could easily, add it to the All-Star game in the weekend. You do it for the competitions, do it for the dunk contest, make it a $1 million prize for the dunk contest. Because in that case, if like ahead of the season, it's like, oh, if you make the All-Star team, you get $1 million bonus, we'll just say. And if you win the MVP, you get another $500,000 or something. That's something players would work towards throughout the season. It's like, oh, if I make the All-Star game, I get an extra $1 million. I'm going to grind. I'm going to bust my ass this first half of the season because I want to be an All-Star so I can make that extra money. I think something like that really, maybe it's not the only way, but at least right now it might be the only logical way to fix the All-Star game.
It's literally the easiest thing in any corporation. We're having a sales competition. Whoever sells the most coffee mugs gets a $500,000 raise.
So, I'm in. Yeah, you jump out of your seat like, all right, let's go start selling things. And it's like the NBA, and you said it. It's like they want to be praised. Not that they want to be praised, but it's like a team wins, you donate to charity, right? That's awesome. But it's like you have all this money. Is it really that impressive? Like, you have all this money, you can shoot out your ass, these billions of dollars from this new television deal that they're going to sign in a few years or a year or two, whatever it is. If they don't fucking fix the All-Star game and pay guys with that money, then I don't know what we're doing, because that's just a ridiculous amount of money. It's like, if you're willing to do all the money for charity and get that good look, make it look good, like, oh, we do this and that, you can dish out a few extra $1 million. It's a lot of money to someone like me and you, but for the NBA, it's really not. Okay. You can dish out a few extra bucks for these players. Mm-hmm.
It's like return on investment. You know, if you put
100%,
they're investing into players, 100%. Right? Like, they're getting these $200 million deals. Guess what? Those are your cash cows. And I don't mean to disrespect NBA players in derogatory terms at all.
No.
Put that out there. But they make Adam Silver and the rest of the league and the owners around the league more money when they go out and play very well. So in the All-Star game, which is a culmination of the NBA's best talent, both international and Americanized, and the LeBrons and the Jokic's, whoever, you put them in a position where they could win even more money because they know that you guys are a billion-dollar corporation. You got it. That's how you get more eyes on the game. You want to compete with the college footballs and the NFLs of the world? This is how, to some degree, it's a start. That's all.
Took the words right out of my mouth. I don't think we could agree more on it. It's all about money. Adam Silver, just show those dollar bills, and I promise things will change. For the better.
It ain't no different than a strip club, baby.
Oh, my God. You know how hard James Harden would be grinding to get that $1 million bonus? Oh, my God. He'd be on the first flight to Houston after that. But all right, that's all we got for topics. Jared, do you have anything else you want to add before we close out episode 31 here?
Yeah, the only thing I gotta add, we touched on some March Madness stuff, man. Shout out to the women who have played a better tournament than what I've seen out of the men's. I've watched
more entertaining, 100%.
Yeah, like I've watched both very closely, and right now I am having more fun watching Hannah Hidalgo with Notre Dame and Juju Watkins with USC and all of South Carolina's roster because they're still undefeated, and of course Caitlin Clark, which it's been a Angel Reese with LSU. It's been a blast.
It has been a blast. I can name more basketball players than men's, 100%.
Cameron Brink with Stanford. Like, everybody's just...
Yeah, there you go. Fuck you. What did she say? She was like, fuck you. She left or something like that. Yeah. I was at the casino the other night, and they literally were playing all the women's games over the men's games and stuff like that. And I was like, honestly, this is probably the best thing to do because it's so much more entertaining. March Madness has been sick. I think the men's tournament returns tomorrow or Thursday. We film on Wednesdays and stuff, so we had a few days off. But yeah, hopefully everyone's brackets are doing well. Mine is actually laughable. Granted, I didn't do like I'm not a big college like I don't follow college basketball throughout the year, nothing like that. So I didn't know like too many stories and stuff. So I just made my bracket just for fun and stuff like that. Wow. Could not have gone worse. Good thing I didn't put money on it. Good thing I'm not in any sort of pools with my friends or nothing, because this is for my eyes and my eyes only. But yeah, hopefully everyone else's brackets are doing well.
I'm in a pool. with some friends, and I'm actually leading, at least on the men's side. On the women's side, I'm getting cooked. But on the men's side, I'm up. I'm up like 100 points. I think I'm running away.
It's actually funny. The only other eyes that sees my bracket. So me and my girlfriend, we both made one, and we just went in a group by ourselves. So I was like, oh, let's just see like who does better, whatever. We both have the same like thing of like, oh, just picking teams, whatever. She is kicking my fucking ass. She was like, I was like, what did you do? She goes, I just picked for fun. I was like, so did I. You just did it a whole lot better than
they
me.
They have prettier colors than the other
Yeah,
games.
The logos are better. I like their mascots. Yeah, well, you picked them. Whatever you did, you picked it better than me. But yeah, I think that's all we got. Thank you guys for tuning in for another edition of Sitting Courtside. Like always, my name is Dante. This is Jerry. You can follow us on our personal social medias that you can see on the screen. Follow Sitting Courtside on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. If you are on YouTube watching this, thank you. Thank you for getting this far. Please make sure to like and subscribe. Check out our other videos. Catch up on our shorts, our gamified content that we have going on here. If you're an audio-only listener, thank you for listening till the end. Give us a 5-star review, all that good stuff. And check us out on YouTube if you aren't already. And until episode 32 next week, take it easy. Peace out.